I am walking down Parque Santa Lucia. I'm in Mérida, Yucatán, in Mexico. Come take a walk with me. This is Studio Confessions, the art and wellness podcast. Listen in as artists and culture makers come clean to share their journey and tell us what moves them. Let me share my wax poetic monologues and point of view to welcome inspiration and live a more beautiful life. That's right, I said beautiful. Welcome to the studio. I'm glad you're here. I keep inviting everyone to come over, stay with us. I really do wish I could share this wonderful experience with friends and family and you. But part of me wonders if I'm so adamant about inviting people because I know no one can actually come right now. All the same, the sentiment's there. So what's the next best thing? Take a listen to my walk and my encounters as I walk down a very small section of Mérida, a neighborhood called Santa Lucia, after the park, Santa Lucia, where I've kind of found home. It's the center of my Mérida experience this time around. I must say, we've been very privileged to be here. We got here in October, and it was just as things were starting to open. I've mentioned before in my prior podcasts about Mérida, people here are very serious and very respectful of the restrictions. There was a dry law, meaning there was no alcohol being sold for some months. There was no restaurants. I mean, they were on lockdown and people cooperated. So now they're somewhat reaping the benefits of it and I get to be part of that, luckily, thankfully. But I must say, even now going to a mall, for instance, yesterday, we were in a line. They made us wash our hands with soap. Then we took another gel disinfectant and they took our temperature as we walked in, every single person going into the mall. So there is a heightened level of security and safety here. So come along, we'll be safe. Another thing I've done, which is amazing, I must say, I'm patting myself on the back. I created a Google map for you. So I know we can't travel now, but this too shall pass and soon the world will be calling you. So if you should take that call and come to Mérida, you can take this map with you and check out a few of the places that we'll stop by today. And that's a big thing because I'm not a tech-savvy person. As a matter of fact, this episode is a result of two failed interviews. One that did not record at all. And if you're a podcaster, you know the feeling. It's a nightmare. And two, I interviewed a lovely guest and she sounds like Darth Vader. So in the spirit of making things work, here is my travelogue of Parque Santa Lucia. So where to begin? Coffee, of course. I'm not even going to play. I am shamelessly addicted to Starbucks. And there's a lovely Starbucks in the neighborhood of Santa Lucia, nestled next to three remarkably beautiful hotels. The first one is Mansión Mérida, which is this beautiful yellow, creamy, Baroque almost, neoclassic building. The next one is Hotel Caribe, and it has this Art Nouveau facade to it, and then is the Starbucks. Next to the Starbucks after that is the Grand Hotel. Now, this hotel is remarkable. It's one of the first hotels in Mérida, and you can kind of tell. You go inside because that's where the bathroom for Starbucks is, and word to the wise, the code is 8740. So if you're a traveler and you find yourself around Parque Hidalgo, which is where the Starbucks and these hotels are, the code is 8740. So once you go inside the Grand Hotel, you can see how the humidity in the environment really affects the architecture. You can tell this one hasn't been loved for a few years, maybe even a few months. The humidity is so corrosive that I think a lapse in letting buildings air or maintenance can really take a toll on it. It's gorgeous nonetheless. It's from the turn of the century. As a matter of fact, this whole area that we're looking at was established in the 16th century. So everywhere you look, there is just so much beauty and so much grandeur. Now, really quick, a disclaimer and a not so disclaimer. My whole Starbucks obsession has to do with my story about being a kid in LA. an unhappy kid. So in high school, I would ditch and, you know, go to Beverly Center, smoking my cigarettes, drinking my coffee, and feeling that this energy, this fire in my belly that told me adventures were to come. So every time I travel, that is the feeling, the nostalgia, the excitement that I seek out. And that's how I got to this Starbucks. And I'm not disappointed. This is a quite a beautiful space in front of Parque Hidalgo. What's after the coffee? Well, books, obviously. Elvis compiled an amazing list of his own of all of the great bookstores in the city. We'll have to make a Google map for that. But before then, right across the street from the Grand Hotel and Starbucks on Calle 60, on 60th Street, is Educal, a well-stocked bookstore, two levels. And it's such a different experience here in Mexico and probably in other countries. It's not like Barnes & Noble's where you can come in and read the whole book while you're drinking a Frappuccino. No, here the books are all wrapped in plastic, so they're well-preserved. And again, it might be for the humidity because, as a matter of fact, kind of gross detail, there are book mites that get into your books if they're exposed to humidity, and they're not fun. So it's probably to protect. Nonetheless, it's a great bookstore, tons of beautiful books and other posters and postcards worth a look. Another bookstore that was on the list that Elvis made was this gem of a store called Between the Lines. It is the only Spanish language bookstore in town, and I was so pleased to go check it out and meet the owner, Juanita, a Canadian former writer. She actually wrote for Yucatan Today, which was a printed newspaper, which is now all online. Go check it out. And she was kind of like the ambassador of Mérida when I first arrived. She gave us some great tips, having immigrated here quite a while ago. She knows exactly the ins and outs of the city, so it's a great spot. And one of the big reasons that I go to bookstores is not only to beef up my library, but also to find and source collage material. I never really thought about the effect that environments have on collage, and I've spoken this a lot on my live collage hours on Wednesdays and Sundays. Humidity is not the best place for paper. So it's been kind of tough because as you cut the paper, it puckers. I feel that if I squeezed the paper or crinkled it up, water would come out from the humidity that's absorbed. It's really tough. If I moved here, I think I'd probably become a painter. Actually, no, not even a painter, because I've seen tons of paintings around different neighborhoods and buildings that are like moldy or warped from the humidity. So I'd probably become a sculptor. Yeah, that's what I'll do. I'll become a sculptor. It's beautiful. Nonetheless, it's kind of worth it. So in my adventures and collaging from all of the great books that I've sourced here, I thought, well, Mod Podge, right? I'll try Mod Podge. All of these years of kind of being a snob and overlooking it because it has such a bad rap of being, you know, the number one go-to craft material for all your craft projects, I thought, maybe that will preserve the paper. So I went to this art store called Arcline, which is also on the map, and they had no idea what I was talking about. Try explaining Mod Podge in Spanish to someone who has no idea what you're talking about. So that was fun, but it also kind of gave me a reality check, right? Like, wow, things are just so different, and you have to take advantage of the resources you have around you at any moment. So I'm going to try to do my own Mod Podge with like a glue and water, which is basically what it is, I think. So I'll let you know how that works out. But listen, take advantage of your resources at any given moment because you don't know when you won't have them at your disposal. After art, food. Goodness. If you're a foodie, you will not be disappointed by Mérida. Anytime anyone says Mérida, the following words are always cochinita pibil. Cochinita pibil is a pork that is cooked underground, encased in banana leaves with red onions. I mean, it's delicious. And I usually don't eat pork, but whoa, that has gone out the window since we arrived. There's just so much delicious food to explore that's inspired by Mayan cuisine, inspired by the rest of Mexico. I highly recommend you do a gastronomical tour when you visit Mérida.
This podcast is sponsored by me and Collage Dream. Visit collagedream.com to get your monthly subscription on collage kits filled with curated ephemera and collage material from my book hoardings, New York City bookstores, and my travels. You get everything you need, from adhesive to cardboard, confetti to a prompt to get you started, or go further, and join in on a collage therapy session. Join in on a group or schedule a private session and really get your thoughts in order and your creativity flowing. CollageDream.com, the only door to my studio.
One of the places that we stumbled upon very early on while we were exploring Santa Lucia was El Museo de la Gastronomía de Yucatán, the Gastronomical Museum of Yucatán. Now, of course, what drew me was the word museum, because that's like my church, right? And it did not disappoint. As any good museum worth its title, it's kind of posh, it's very pretty, but unlike the museums that we are all familiar with in New York and elsewhere, it's not overpriced. It's very well priced, and it's so delicious. More than a museum, it's an experience. The museum gallery, its space, is quite small. There's maybe two showrooms, and then there is a great exhibit in the back outdoors of Mayan huts, how the gastronomical technology would have been, and still is, really, because that when we think of Maya, the Mayan culture, we think of the past, when in fact, it's very much present. And one way it's very much present is in the food. So when you go to this museum, you get to try so many great dishes that are Mayan, delicious. And I wish I could tell you, oh, I have a favorite, but the whole menu is just so delicious. Like most buildings in Mérida, when you go into the museum, you can't really see the inside from the outside. So you go in and it kind of reveals itself. All of a sudden, right off of the street, you're in an hacienda with this luscious scenery, with these beautiful seats and art. And there's boleros and nostalgia pouring out of the speakers. Great art, great architecture. It's a really beautiful experience. I mean, we got there by mistake. We walked by and we peeked in and we're like, whoa, what's that? So we just went inside, had drinks, had a great meal. We ordered the cochinita pibil and it was such a delight. A must, a must, a must, a must. After you're done with Between the Lines and Educal, make your way to El Museo de la Gastronomía. Another spot that will be very memorable and seared in our hearts is Soco. It's a bakery, this delicious small bakery that has a great variety of bread, croissants. It seems like they have a changing roster of breads and they're always trying new things. For instance, I had the omelet with kimchi, which is not a Yucatecan dish. Delicious all the same. And it's so great to have these different takes, right? Because I only know kimchi through Korean American dishes. So this is kind of like a Mexican Korean take on it. It was delicious. And what happened when I was there with my husband and two other friends was, as we were enjoying our coffee and kimchi omelets, Elvis got alerts on his phone saying that Biden had won. So all of a sudden, this bakery became the epicenter of joy for us. It was quite a remarkable moment. And, you know, we started getting phone calls and it was beautiful. So Soco will always be our little spot of joy. As you keep walking, you'll eventually hit the heart of Yucatán, La Casa de Doña Y, or Doña Y's house. If you've heard my previous podcast, you'd have heard my conversation with two of the women that work in this family business for this mighty character, Doña Y. Doña Y is a archetype character who represents the mestizaje here in Mérida, or the combination of European and indigenous in one person. So it's actually a love story. Doña Y was created by a couple, an architect and anthropologist. The architect is a man from Colombia who married a woman from Mérida. It was his effort to create a project to celebrate and learn about his wife's culture. And the result was the fabulous Doña Y. So listen to that podcast. It's called Meet Doña Y. And listen to just how great this family journey has been. It's an interesting case study on entrepreneurship and working with your culture to celebrate it and promote it. I had the great opportunity to speak with Irene and Cami about their journey so far. They call it El Corazón de Yucatán because you go there and you just feel so welcomed. And the people who run it, you feel that it's a family-run business because they're so attentive and they're there to tell you stories and share their passion for what they do. So much to the point that I met Irene and Cami and they kind of became, again, these ambassadors for the city, these friends that kind of pointed me in all these amazing directions that I wouldn't have known any other way. And one connection that they made was La Casa Casa, a new cultural center experience that is just walking distance from La Casa de Doña Y, owned by Emmanuel. Now, you know that earlier failed attempt at an interview I was talking about earlier? It was actually with him. He doesn't know this yet. But we had a great conversation for the podcast. Did not record. But he's so cool. I know he'll sit with me again and we'll have a conversation. So either way, La Casa Casa is an amazing cultural center that he's opened and an Airbnb. So you can stay at the Casa Casa, take a workshop, enjoy the food, enjoy the event, meet new people. I mean, it's a fabulous place. And I must say, I must thank Emmanuel and Doña Y for giving me my favorite food-related story. I was introduced to the Casa Casa during the Day of the Dead, or as they call it here in Mérida, with the Mayan perspective, Hanal Pichon. The Casa Casa was hosting an event for the Day of the Dead. They created an altar, and they were going to have a gastronomical event, which means we were going to try 10 different pairings of food from Oaxaca, which is where Emmanuel is from, with different drinks, different food. I mean, it was amazing. And what was the first dish? Chapulines, grasshoppers. And it was amazing. So these grasshoppers, that kind of looks like tuna by the time it's served to you, was served with specks of gold, which, as opulent as it sounds, I think it was mostly as a way of distracting you from looking for the grasshoppers and just focusing on the gold. So it was delicious. It was salty. It tasted like tuna. It was on a tortilla chip. We ate it. It was delicious. But I must say, after we finished, I look over at Elvis and I tell him, hey, you dropped some. You have a few legs on your dish. And they were little, you know, grasshopper legs, which look like any other insect's legs. Anyway, it's the protein of the future. Look it up. It was amazing. I'd eat it again. So it's my favorite memory of food in Mérida. So check out La Casa Casa when you have a chance. It's on the map. And that's where I'm at. This journey started with buying flights to find an Airbnb to taking a stroll down this neighborhood and allowing it to reveal itself and meet new people and really not have any expectations or compare it to anything that I know. I'm so pleased that I can bring you with me on this little walk. And I'm happy to have failed at these two past interviews so I can deliver this communique of travel and adventure. Be sure to click on the link that will give you the map for these amazing spots that I just told you about. I really hope this inspires you and allows you to think of a not so distant future where we can travel and explore. I hope to find you on these streets. That's it. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this conversation, please leave a review on iTunes. It goes a long way. Follow me on Instagram at @artengineer and send me your email or follow the show at @StuConPodcast. Please share this episode with anyone who might benefit from this conversation. Remember, you are the flame that can ignite 1,000 candles. I am Luis Martin, the art engineer, sharing with you what moves me.